Welcome back to Getting Started with Windows 10 for the IT Professional. With me, as always, is Pierre Roman. And next up is protecting your data with containers without boxing yourself in.
Boxing yourself in, exactly. So what we're talking about today is the fact that we can have the best security solutions that we have. We're like, I don't know what in the United States with the candy, but in Canada we have the Whippet, which is a chocolate cookie that has a hard shell but a soft middle.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is the indicative of most of our security environments, where we have a very heavily fortified perimeter.
Exterior, yeah.
And but the middle of our environments, like the in-prem our users, is kind of like the soft, cushy, easily attackable. So this brings us to the fact that the security landscape has changed, and with Windows 10 we want to address that. So the risks today are greater than ever been in terms of having the data fall into the wrong hands. Because really, the security is not about protecting the device or it's about protecting the data.
Correct.
It's what's important. And so the risk is greater than ever. And often it's not external. Like you look at the logs, IT pros look at the logs all the time on their firewalls, and yep, they see somebody trying to come in and banging at it and everything else. So that's fine, because we still need to do that. But we have to look at within. We have to look at social engineering attacks. So we'd have to look at all these different kinds of leaks or potential leaks, and we realize that the majority of them are internal. So, really quickly, a couple of examples: the G20 organizers in Australia, and that was actually published in a newspaper, accidentally sent the list of the passport numbers, visa requirements, name, personal identifier of the world leaders, like the prime ministers and the presidents and so on, that were attending the G20 summit. And he sent it to somebody for the Asian Cup football tournament because of autocomplete. Yep. on his email.
We've seen it numerous times in regards to where you have a scenario, an individual is trying to do something that they feel is the easier way to do it. So a document that's important to them, they'll email it to themselves, so they'll have access to it on another device. And you know, with that autocomplete error, may have mistakenly put in that individual's address, and then it got leaked to that individual. And you know, without security on that document, on that data, it's accessible by anybody.
Absolutely. And so what we have to do is look at the data leakage. And if we look at some statistics, they're pretty telling.
Yep.
Telling of the story. So 87% of senior managers, they admit regularly uploading work files to personal email account or cloud account. So you take the files, yeah, I'll just put it on my OneDrive, or I'll put it in Dropbox or whatever, so I can get to it when I get home without having to bring it with me. So it's already there. So that's 87% of them that admit to it.
Yep.
So the real number may be a little higher than that. 58% have accidentally sent wrong or sensitive information to the wrong person. And I don't know how many times I've done it where it wasn't sensitive information, but sending an email to you a couple times, and I went, just started typing your name and auto-completed to Andrew.
Yep.
And then I send them, hey, we want to meet for lunch, and
no,
he's in Vancouver, I'm in Ottawa.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to meet for lunch. So that's just to tell you how quickly and how easily that happens. And if we look at those types of breaches, the average cost of data breaches is $240 per record. So if you get $100,000 record compromise, that's the average cost of what it's going to cost you to address that problem. So it's really, really important to address that at the source, not wait for the leakage to occur.
One interesting stat that I learned is that 60% of end users don't feel that IT professionals are prepared to enable end users to gain secure access to that data from any device. And so, you know, a lot of these figures that you've mentioned come from the fact that end users are doing things on their own without having that conversation with IT. That whole shadow IT aspect, and you have the situation where data is inadvertently being leaked because end users are taking upon themselves to do certain tasks, which should be in conversation with IT.
Well, there's two things on that one. we typically will harden or make it hard for people to use outside devices.
Yep.
So if you've got your own computers, we have a very hard shell and with a VPN concentrator or direct access or something very hard to break into to allow users to come in. But we look at our own machine, like the corporate owned machines, and the controls are not so much. Like we figure, okay, well, they're trusted by the domain.
Yep.
That should be good enough.
Yep.
And it's not. So if we look at the protection journey or what the type of protection we do a lot of device protection. Absolutely.
Yep.
We do BitLocker, and in Windows 8 we had BitLocker enhancements. We do Instant Go. We had there's third party adoption of tools to allow us to really harden that device. We also protect the data, so by using rights management services, Office Information Rights Management, or Azure AD with Azure RMS. But there's a gap in between that doesn't address the accidental leakage. So if I'm on a device that's protected, it's BitLockered and everything, and I'm logged onto it because
yep.
I'm a trusted person and I have access to it, and I'm opening a document that may or may not have rights management settings attached to it and stuff like that, but I can, I can still get some of that data and accidentally post it somewhere
yep.
or copy it somewhere or take a screenshot of it. And like, there are ways that the gap is not addressed.
Yep.
So there are some third-party solution for that, but the way they address those third-party solution is they allow you to switch mode between containers. And that's what the title of this session is about, containers,
yep.
without boxing you in yourself
yep.
in. So you log on to your device as the Joe Blow user or Joe Blow consumer. So you have access to your Tetris,
Tetris.
Yeah, I like Tetris. Your Angry Birds or whatever you have on your device, your Netflix, your Facebook, your social media, all that kind of information or potential information leakage solutions.
Yep.
Then if you want to do business, you basically have to log out that container and connect to the other container that is. So the experience is really bad.
Fragmented.
It's fragmented.
Fragmented,
exactly. So you have to, you switch apps to work securely. You can't
yep.
do the experience between, especially between mobile and desktop or mobile and laptop is very different. So what you're doing in one is different than what you're doing in the other. And it leads to confusion, and those solutions are expensive. So if you want to look at it, what we're looking at it, we're trying to find the balance. And I think with Windows 10, we have found the balance to allow for, because really without true platform level integration, balancing those experiences is almost impossible.
Yep.
So with Windows 10, we have addressed some of that so that we don't have to choose between compromised user experience or ease of deployment or low cost versus a better user experience, difficult to deploy or higher cost. Because really, that should be somewhere in the middle.
Well, if the user experience is difficult, the adoption rate would be a lot lower because the fact that the end user doesn't want to go through all these steps to secure documents, to go through all these third-party apps, to enforce encryption. They're just going to say, you know what, I'm just going to send it to myself and do it that way.
Absolutely.
And that becomes a concern. That's where the data leakage stems from.
It's like path of least resistance.
Yep.
So if it's too hard for me to remember my 12 character password, well, I'm just going to write it down on a piece on the sticky note and actually tape it to the monitor.
Oh yeah, I've seen that too. RSA keys taped to the monitor.
RSA keys taped to the side of the monitor. Like, come on, guys.
I know.
Well, it's not the IT pros that are doing that, it's the users, but we need to make sure make it easy enough for them to not be able to do that. So our vision is to integrate all that data protection at the platform level, so within the OS, within the Windows 10 desktop, tablet, everywhere. So to put that into the platform to protect the data against inadvertent disclosure, whether it be through email, social media, public cloud, regardless where it is.
Now, social media has, really stemmed the whole data leakage piece. You know, older generations like you on Facebook, they share data and unknowingly. It's not purposely leaking that data.
Well, every once in a while, I have to chisel a tablet of stone and I mail it to the wrong person.
I thought you do carrier pigeon. You mail it? That's awesome. You're using technology. We love it.
I have choice words, but I'm not going to do it because we're on camera. Data protection in cloud and mobile world. Well, what it requires is it requires protection everywhere. And what we mean by that is protection everywhere. It means at rest, in transit, across devices, across different storage location. We want to be able to enable the wipe of those, but without wiping everything. Like, we don't want to wipe your kitty videos or Anthony's pictures of muscle cars. So, and it has to be supported in all the apps that are running on that platform as well.
The only pictures I have to delete all the time is the Leafs keep revolving in terms of players, so I got to keep changing the rosters.
So Windows 10 experience for data protection for enterprise, it takes a different approach. In terms of the mobile and desktop, we do protect the data at rest and when it's roaming. So if it's saved on a surface or on a phone, it's encrypted, BitLocker. It's platform integrated, so they don't have to mode switch. Corp data is identifiable from personal data. So if you're using something like Workplace Join or extending untrusted devices, connecting them to trusted environments, then everything is signed to allow that. That's not part of Windows 10, but that's where it started.
Yep.
Only IT allowed apps can actually see the business data. So if you try to open a document or some records that are deemed important and locked into an application that's not approved, you're going to get a little pop-up and a message saying, can't do that.
Yep.
So you can't do it. So that's great. So and IT controls the keys. So when the key is deployed to that said device, see, that's what I did here. So when its key is deployed to that said device, we end up like IT has the control of the key. So if that person ends up being escorted out the door, you can just revoke the key, and all that data that they've got on those other devices gets basically is unusable.
Now, what about the scenario where an individual has a plethora of devices? Well,
IT having the keys, if you cancel the keys or revoke the keys, then when you try to open that document or that information, it will check for certificate revocation, realize that that certificate is no longer valid and won't allow you to get into that information.
So you can see the importance in regards to having a unified ID or identification for that individual, so it's, you know, cut them once and no device can gain access to that data.
Yeah, so one of the things we did in Windows 10 for enterprise in terms of the data protection is we turned on the optional like screen lock security policy. Because typically, you log on to a machine, so you get the keys, you unlock your hard drive, and you get access to the data that's there, even though it's BitLockered. Then you lock your screen. Well, your machine's still running, your credentials are still there.
Yep.
So they could be potential attacks to actually allow people to come in and get access to some of that memory and extract the keys or extract some of that data. So what it does is the system, when you lock your key or you lock your machine, your device, it'll actually toss the keys. It'll actually like forget what the key is. So that data now is encrypted, but the key's nowhere to be found.
Yep.
When you log back in, it will go and get that key back, so it'll allow it to do that. So it will encrypt, and of course, if you got incoming emails and stuff like that, it will still encrypt them, but you can't open them because you don't have the other key to open it. Log on unlocks it and gives you access, and it mitigates most system attacks. So really what happens is you get a user and enrolled into an enterprise MDM or domain join, gets the information. MDM sends the policy and the encryption keys to that device or to the user.
Yep.
And then from there, the policies are set for what you're allowed to do in terms of what allowed apps are have access to the data, what network policies, app restrictions, and so on. So we end up with a device that may have one side that's business apps and one side that's personal apps. And I think we talked about that in an earlier module.
And what's great is it's not siloed. Even though the data is protected and it is encrypted, which is business data, it's not specifically taking up 10 gigs of your device only to business data.
No, exactly. Plus, you don't have to like get into a container to get access to the data, then come out of the container if you want to get access to your personal data. It's all there, but it's tagged and identified as what's business and managed and what's personal and unmanaged.
So your cat pictures are good.
My cat pictures are good, or
It's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day. So data from enterprise network. So data coming in from the enterprise is encrypted, stored in an encrypted fashion on either OneDrive for business, on your corporate exchange email, etc. So it's always secure. The data egress, so from your app to the disk, is saving to an enterprise folder, so the workplace join and solutions like that. The encryption is automatically applied. Users have the option to save it as to the corporate network. IT can enlighten an app to automatically protect the data, saying everything that comes from this app automatically will get encrypted. So you don't have a choice. Everything, every time you use that app or that package, then it gets encrypted.
So quick question for you. The encryption used in regards to this, in the certificates that are being used, is that issued by us or is that issued by the organizations?
Say that again?
The encryption keys used, the certificates used, is that issued by us or is that issued by the organizations deploying this?
The organization owns the key.
So in an aspect of confidence in the cloud and having the ability to store information confidently in the cloud without anybody else getting access to it, if the organization itself owns that key and nobody else has access to it, what is the likelihood of that information being accessed from somebody else?
Very low.
Correct.
Exactly. So we want to give you control. It's your data. We don't want anything to do with it.
Yep.
You encrypt it. You keep the keys and keep us out of it. But we'll give you the facilities in order to get it done. And of course, inter-app or over network, depending on the apps that are highlighted or hindlighted, the app restriction policy comes into place so that you can block data from specific apps to come back to the network or to the device. And the network policy can block that if it's data from non-corporate sites. So of course, iOS, Android, and all that, you still have the readers available cross-platform. You get public APIs to secure that. So even if a document is protected by rights management, when you take that document and you send it to a person that may be authorized, that person opens it on their iPad or their iOS, their phone, and will actually have to check back with the RMS.
Yep.
To make sure that they're allowed to open it. So the protection is actually tied into the documents and into the data and follows it across. So if you try to, in Windows 10, if you try to cut and paste to Notepad or something like that, all of a sudden rights management will like pop up and say, you're not allowed to do that, and will prevent you from basically making a big mistake.
And how great is it in the fact that we're actually supporting this on iOS and flavors of Android, which will unify after the recent announcements of Android M coming out, in regards to that information staying secure on devices already deployed in businesses. Obviously, Windows Phone as well supports it natively, but the fact that we're supporting it on other platforms is that enablement piece to allow people to have choices to what devices they do want to use and still be securely enabled by the organization.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's the user has some control. So if the user decides to leave the company, or I'm using my personal device here, and I decide that I want to pass this on to my daughter or to my wife because I'm buying a new Fandango new phone that's coming out.
Yep.
I can basically revoke myself, so unenroll myself, and it will basically wipe the keys off that device, and all the data that's on there is now going to be unaccessible and be wiped. So I can do that myself, or the enterprise can decide to revoke the keys for me and turn it out. So all that put together, it means that we take care of the accidental data leakage, because it's not like a strong arming, and it's the platform, it's built into the platform and it follows with the information. And when you try to do something that may be accidental, it'll just stop and remind you that you shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
So it does take care of that. So with the protection, protecting the device itself, protecting the device itself, the protection of the data and protection of the identity that we're going to talk about a little bit later, you get a protection continuum. Like that word.
And it's immersive. I love that word, continuum. It's awesome. It's immersive. It's
yes.
not a, I need to do a separate hop or a separate step to do this.
No, that's a vision. That's the mission is to build that into the platform. And Windows 10, because it's Windows 10 on desktop, it's Windows 10 on laptops,
yep.
it's Windows 10 on mobile devices. Basically, that protection carries across all of the entire platform.
And on iOS and Android as well.
Yeah, with the new clients that are available for
Correct.
It.
Correct.
So when we talk about, and I know a lot of people have questions for it, because I keep getting questions about device encryption versus BitLocker. So encryption automatic out of the box. So with Windows 10, it's automatic.
Yep. And that's on all devices. That's
Yeah, exactly. So Windows, like a Surface Pro, no, yep. Surface 3s.
Yep.
Which are like consumer device,
Correct.
Have encryption
enabled out of the box.
Enabled out of the box. So as long as you connected to a Microsoft account,
yep.
then it basically encrypts the disks and escrows the keys in OneDrive.
Correct.
So you can always recover, but your hard drive itself is encrypted. It ships in all editions of Windows.
Yep. So including mobile.
Including mobile. BitLocker and BitLocker2Go, these are still kind of premium services in terms
yep.
of encryption, and they're only available on Pro and Enterprise versions of Windows
yep.
10. It's full management capability, so it includes FIPS support, so for public sector or secured environment that require that FIPS certification, we have it. You can do it right into the imaging of the application, of the your workstation or your device when you deploy or when you provision that device. BitLocker can be enabled by default. There are management solutions to help you because it's been in the past, deploying BitLocker in an enterprise level has been challenging. Now we have, well, we've had tools, but now they're better.
Yep.
And more streamlined. So MBAM, which is part of MDOP, can help you with that. The keys can be recovered and stored escrowed in AD. So even if a machine, if you don't know what the pin to unlock the TPM
yep.
chip to get to the data, well, you can still recover and an administrator could get access to that data.
Yep.
And it ships with Pro and Enterprise, as I said. One thing about provisioning that we have is that provisioning is a top pain for IT professionals in terms of encrypting devices.
Yep.
The provisioning has been challenging in the past. TPM sometimes has been complex, and the encryption takes too long. Like I remember the first time I enabled BitLocker on my machine, and I had, I think it was a terabyte drive.
You had a terabyte drive on your 386 SX?
It wasn't that long ago. Anyway, so, and it took forever because it encrypted the entire drive. So in Windows 10, with we make the BitLocker very, very easy. So we get TPM auto provisioning when you deploy, where you provision the machine. We have support for encrypted hard drives. So drives that have hardware encryption built into them, BitLocker will leverage that to speed things up. And we only do only the used space. So if you have a 1 terabyte drive, but you've only got 20 gigs of data on it, well, you're only going to encrypt that 20 gigs. So it makes it a lot faster to get to it. And as you add more data, that data gets encrypted. And of course, you can pre-provision all that during your setup in terms of enabling BitLocker and enabling the protection of that hard drive. So your experience and security is improved for IT because it's easier to get it out there. And it's improved at the end user experience because one of the things is we've eliminated the need for pre-boot authentication. So on Instant Go device. So Instant
yep.
Go is what replaces like a sleep mode or hibernation. Like it doesn't completely go to sleep.
Yep. It's a quick boot. So when
it's
you shut
quick
down,
boot. Exactly.
It goes, you know, it goes into a quick boot
yeah.
mode.
Because often I get the, well, with BitLocker, do I need a pre-boot pin or do I not need a pre-boot pin? Like, it's been a lot of the information, or not the information, but the question that we get from IT pros about, should I do pre-boot authentication? Not really necessary anymore.
No. And it alleviates the boot time. So you now have a scenario where it's a quicker boot time. We're all spoiled now. We want instant gratification information. We don't want to wait for these machines to boot up. We want, as soon as it turns on, boom, get to my information.
Yep.
If you have, in the other methodology, you're waiting for that authentication to happen.
Not only that, it avoids little problems, which are not IT problems, they're user problems, where you put your laptop into your bag, and it accidentally hits the button, it turns on, and it sits at the pin with the fan running all the way. So you get to your, you get home, you get the good bag out of your car, and you go to pick up the laptop, and you can cook an egg on it.
Yep. Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon. So the improved security with Windows Locker, improved anti-hammering, so you can't hammer at the pin to get to. So the TPM chip will handle that. And basically shut itself down after so many tries. So, and really when it shut itself down, basically it will come back up and ask for the recovery key. So if it's not you and you're trying to basically brute force into the machine, it'll stop and say, I don't believe that it's you. You've tried too many times. Show me the recovery key.
Yep.
And at that point, you can either go back to AD to your administrator or to your self-serve portal and actually get the key back, or help desk, and then have it emailed or sent to a trusted source or your manager or coworker. Because if they think you've been compromised, they're not going to send it to you.
Yes, correct.
Or you shouldn't anyway. So think about that. And of course, Exchange, ActiveSync, and MDM policies are applied to decide not decide, but to affect device encryption. So does that device, does the mobile device all have to be encrypted? Yes. So that your MDM solution will come into play with that.
So there's no excuse for not encrypting devices, because the fact that, you know, even if you've deployed Office 365 or Exchange, you have that policy capability to enforce encryption.
Yes, and it's, not only is it easy to apply the policies once you've got the MDM solution and all these machines provisioned into it, but it's transparent to the user, so there's no friction there.
Yep.
It's not like you're sending them like a 3-page document on how they need to turn on encryption on their device. They just log on to get the policy and boom, it's the encryption has started. So it makes it a lot easier for everybody. So it's integrated in the platform and managed by IT. So in the past, why have we needed conventional security? Encryption keys for encryption solutions have been loaded into memory.
Yep.
So you can actually do cold boot attacks or DMA port attacks, or the one I've heard of that I don't know if I can put a lot of weight into that, but the memory remnants attack.
Yep.
Where they tried to like deep freeze a memory chip to be able to extract. It's already been looked at, and the likelihood of that ever working is very, very low.
Yep.
But theoretically, it is possible, so you do want to mitigate it.
Yep.
With Windows 10, with the when you lock your machine, when it drops the keys, then your cold boot or your cold boot attacks, or to try to access the DMA port attacks, are basically mitigated by that. But the downside to pre-boot authentication, so if we had like the pre-boot pin, they have to be turned off when they're unattended. So you can't just leave your machine on.
Yeah.
And it breaks the user experience. So as I said, you forget the pin, or you put it too many times, or your machine turns on in your bag, all kinds of different experience that will make the users not want to use one. Your modern device offers immunity with that, so Windows 10 on the modern devices will help you, because like port are restricted on Instant Go devices, for example. So you can't, on an Instant Go device, you can't do that like a DMA port attack, because that port is actually turned off. Ports are not present on mobile PCs, so it makes it easier there.
Yep.
Windows 8.1 certified hardware disables the external DMA port during boot, and port can be disabled or restricted or authorized on devices based on policy. Of course, the mitigating the memory remnants attack, or the frozen memory.
Yep.
It's actually been published research by the Canadian Department of Defense that shows that those attacks are very unlikely.
Yep.
So they're still possible, but very, very unlikely.
Yep.
So in Windows 10, improvements, pre-boot authentication improvements. So we de-allow hot plug DMA until the user signs in and when it's locked, so you don't have that DMA attack. We support backup of BitLocker recovery passwords to Active Directory, to Azure Active Directory as well. BitLocker supports for virtual machine using virtual TPM now. So in the past, if you wanted to BitLocker a virtual machine, well, what do you need to BitLocker a machine in the past? A TPM chip.
Yep.
Where do you find a TPM chip when you're a virtualized environment?
Yep.
Somebody has suggested to me, well, you can use the physical one and just pass that through. Yeah, but if you're on a cluster and that machine moves,
correct,
then you're not looking at the same TPM chip.
Correct.
There's all these kinds of problems. So it's been an issue. It's been a challenge to BitLocker virtual machines. Well, with Windows 10 and the next vNex of server, there will be virtual support for virtual TPMs. And of course, Windows phones can enable their encryption
without the MD. That actually comes out of the box. So out of the box, the devices are already encrypted on a Windows phone. And that same policy can then be invoked on other OSs as well.
That's right. And now, so our continuum is complete. So we're protecting the device, we're protecting the data, and we're protecting the sharing of that data. So how that data gets passed from one app to the other.
Yep.
So we get a end-to-end, and that's all built into the platform. That's all built into Windows 10. So the value is, for our IT pros trying to look at that, is you get best security, mitigation of all these potential data leaks and accidental, but also protecting yourself against known attacks and without introducing friction to the users. And less friction to the users means less calls to the help desk, means less potential shadow IT or bad shadow IT happening. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. So the next steps are, evaluate your data protection enhancements in Windows 10. So talk to, if you've got a TAP, so the early adopter program, if you've got an MDM vendor, if you're using Intune or AirWatch or somebody else, talk to them to find out how you can deploy those policies or what the support is for Windows 10. There are a plethora of sessions that were at Ignite that deal specifically with that. So go online, channel9.msdn.com or myignite.microsoft.com.
Or canitpro.net.
Or canitpro.net. And, that was cool.
Canadian flag.
Thank you. And and that's it. Give us feedback. So there's lots of different things. MVA's got a lot of stuff as well.
Yep.
And on that note, I think we're done.
Yep. So next up is a new era of threat resistance for the Windows 10 platform. Stay tuned for the next module.
All right.